Well, Elise Castle.
Well, Mike Jensen. This is a very dramatic intro.
I don't know, just mixing it up.
You guys, I'm nervous. If I go missing, the last place I was at was Mike's house. If you don't know where that is, look for the VHS tapes and 1984 Gateway computers.
That's me. And on that note, we're here to talk about The Freak Show. Originally aired June 20th, 1999, directed by Alan Coulter. This is third in a row. And written by Jenny Bix.
Jenny Bix.
I like Jenny Bix. She's funny.
She is funny.
We have an interesting beginning.
Well, let's talk about the DVD description.
Oh, yeah. See, I always forget.
You always forget. I got you guys, those of you who asked us for a summary in the beginning. I listen.
Are all men freaks? Samantha goes on a first date with a man who has a few surprises in the closet. Charlotte falls for one with an unexpected nickname, but good word of mouth. And Carrie finally meets possibly the only non-freak in New York, only to discover her own inner freak. There we go. DVD description.
Yeah.
We start off with an in-color shot of the Statue of Liberty.
Ms. Liberty, if you're nasty.
And then quickly transition into old-timey black and white footage.
Right. And then it goes into, like, new-timey black and white footage.
Yeah, where you have, like, the two in the front that look old-timey and it's black and white, and then they move out of the way and we transition into the modern day. Alan's trying some stuff.
Yeah, where they're talking about, they're comparing Ellis Island to a Saturday night in Manhattan.
Yeah.
On Saturday nights, every restaurant in Lower Manhattan resembles its own little Ellis Island. Hordes of single women crowded into a hot, cramped space hoping to make it to their final destination, the state of matrimony. Or at least to get a hot meal in transit.
A little bit of a stretch, but
okay. I mean, I guess the idea is that hope is not gone, so they're taking the hope from Ellis Island and transitioning it to all the single ladies with their hope on a Saturday night.
And we get to Samantha on a date.
Yes, but before we get there, there's just one. You know I love the background waitresses. Yeah. I always love to look at them. This waitress in our opening scene is in a cardigan and what looks like a colonial rehearsal skirt.
Okay.
And you get like a really quick shot of her, but she's, I mean, I'm just wondering like who in these scenes, I don't know. I mean, as a waitress slash performer, I feel like a lot of performers are waitresses, so they would be like, listen, I know I'm not a big part, but
well, but also, most background performers bring their own clothes.
Yeah. Well, maybe she just wanted to wear that rehearsal skirt.
Maybe, yeah.
All right.
So Samantha is on a date with Harrison, played by Mark Kudisch.
Right. And Samantha didn't believe in first dates, but she believed in the sex after them. And Mark Kudisch, Broadway performer, TV performer.
Several Tony nominations. Mm-hmm. She refers to him living in Museum Tower, which I had never looked that up before.
The 39th floor. Yeah, did you look it up?
I did look it up. Okay. It's above MoMA.
Okay.
So it was part of the rebuild of MoMA, a few decades ago. If you want to get really depressed about Manhattan real estate prices, check out the website.
Oh, really?
It's terrifying.
Okay.
It's like...
Is it all rentals or
it's
all...
It's rental and sales. Okay. So for a cool like $4.5 million, you can own yourself a studio in Midtown Manhattan if you want. Cool. It's pretty depressing. But looks beautiful. Although I get the feeling that like some of them are so small that for their picture, they just have the picture of like the gym in the building.
Right.
Or like the front entryway.
We actually couldn't get a camera.
We couldn't get a camera into the space to take a picture. But here's the lobby.
And I noticed, I just wrote down, Sam's doing fine post Gherkin James.
Yeah, she's doing
Gherkin
okay. She's
James Gherkin. James. She's that's a new word.
It weird sexual harassment talk.
Yeah, I wrote sexual harassment role play.
I think you should know my specialty is sexual harassment.
Really? So is mine.
And at first I was like, does he sexually harass people? But then I realized, no, in his field of work.
Yeah.
That's what he deals with.
This is the first instance in this episode, we've had it in past episodes, where you have a character that just kind of can't stop saying the wrong thing.
Most sexual harassment cases are brought by older women.
I'm sorry?
No offense, but... Come on, what are you, 40, 41?
I did some research, and I found out that Mark Kudisch was 33 at the time of this recording. But when I don't know, like Harrison, I was like, you look 40.
Yeah.
He could pass for 40, 41. Not that, you know.
And he keeps saying the wrong thing. And also, Why doesn't she just leave? I think it's like she's all in.
I thought she did.
Yeah, like you.
I thought she did, but she was just doing a tour of his house to Right Said Fred playing in the background.
Yeah, Right Said Fred is playing, and we hear him. He's in a closet, and she opens the closet, and it's a sex closet.
Yeah.
I don't fully understand how he got himself into the contraption.
Yeah.
He's very talented as far as that goes.
He moonlights as a escape artist. Yeah.
So then she leaves.
Then she leaves.
That's too far.
Yeah,
for her.
That was too much. And then, but she does, in her PR job, throw a party for the coffee table book New York Wreckage.
New York Wreckage, a coffee table book party. It's a terrible book, but the hors d'oeuvres are terrific. But yeah, they're mostly just eating shrimp. Yeah.
Yeah, like a shrimp cocktail. Miranda's hair is better. So yeah, they were like, you know what? It's a fine cut. Let's just not tease it.
Right. Yeah, you know? we're getting a little relaxed with the hair now. Mm-hmm. This is why Miranda doesn't date, is because of stories like this.
Right. And if a man is over 30 and single, there is something wrong with him.
It's Darwinian.
They're being weeded out from propagating the species.
Yeah, Mike, do you feel attacked?
Well, no, because I love the next part.
Okay, what about us? We're just choosing. I'm getting more shrimp.
I was like, where's Charlotte? Oh, here she is.
Here she is. But we do also have the moment before that of Samantha saying, like, do you think I look 40?
Right.
And there's no way he's supposed to respond to that.
And we learned last season that she is 40.
Yes.
And then also they made a comment that Samantha, like, we stopped celebrating Samantha's birthday at 35. So this is something that comes up, I feel like, in their friendship, where they have to be like, no, girl, you look 35.
Great.
We
meet Mitchell Saylor.
And he has a nickname that I'm going to let Mike say because I don't like this word for some reason. I don't know what we can call him. Like, can we just call him Mr. Vagina?
Let's call him Mr. Kitty.
Okay.
That works,
weird,
right?
That's weird, though, too.
I was thinking Mr. Kitty.
Mr. Kitty, because I don't like that either.
It's just Mitch. Just call him Mitch.
Yeah, let's call him Mitch.
Well, first, we go to the bathroom.
And what is his name, Mike?
His name is Mr. Pussy.
Mr. Pussy.
You said it. Good for you. Why do they go to the bathroom?
Ladies, I suggest you join me in the bathroom.
Because they want to have, like, girl talk.
Okay.
I was like, oh, is Samantha going to sit on the toilet again and bitch about Harrison? But no, they go to the bathroom, and then Charlotte's like,
I'm not dating anyone who's known as Mr. Pussy. Ugh.
There's also a moment of them being like, you do that, right? Well, so, I mean, to be clear, he has that nickname because he enjoys servicing that area.
With his mouth.
He's a very cunning linguist.
Oh, good one, Mike.
Thanks.
Stole that one right from the right cabaret revival.
Yeah. And there is the moment where she said, I think Sam says to Charlotte, like, you do that, right?
Right.
Because we did sort of have a moment in the first season where she doesn't. Maybe it's just that she doesn't require it.
Yeah, but then there was that other moment a few episodes ago where Charlotte, like, talks about how you have to build up a man and be like, talk dirty, essentially.
Yeah.
So Charlotte's kind of like, you know, some days she's into it and some days she isn't.
Yeah.
But she doesn't, she's very concerned about marriage right away.
Right away, concerned about marriage. Well, it's right away when we establish that because she uses his first and last name, which it says that she does that because she likes, it helps her to imagine their monogrammed towels.
But I don't know. I was thinking, I was like, well, I guess, like, we could have Mr. Pussy and Mrs. Up the Butt, right?
Perfect.
Yeah, they could get monogram towels of that. Yeah. Mike, do you want to get those?
Perfect. Matching. Mm-hmm. I like the woman in the bathroom. Her character name is literally Woman in Bathroom.
Mm-hmm. You have to be talking about Mitch Saylor. He's unbelievable. I dated him for a month. He was so good, I actually passed out when I came. Enjoy.
She is played by Jamie Denbow, who is like a big in UCB.
Yeah, she does a lot of comedy stuff. Like,
she has a ton. She has over 100 credits.
Yeah, she's done a lot of comedy.
She's done a ton of stuff. And I like that you feel as an actress, she's like, I have a job to do. I'm the woman in the bathroom. I'm going to emerge, say my lines, and then go.
Yeah.
She has a very good sense of purpose. I like that.
Yeah, she's like, you must be talking about Mitch Saylor. And I love that she ends it with enjoy.
Yeah.
In my mind, it was like she was just serving her, like, her Starbucks in the morning. She's like, all right, and a caramel macchiato. Enjoy.
Exactly. And then we have the oyster moment.
He does this weird thing where he's, like, eating an oyster while looking at her, and I already think oysters are gross, and now it's just like even grosser.
Yeah, and it is really gross. But the reaction shots, particularly from Sarah Jessica Parker, to me are like priceless. And I want to know if he was doing, like, I want to know if they filmed the reaction shots at the same time that he was doing that,
right,
to give them something to react to, because their reactions are pretty amazing.
I also liked right before this moment when they're all walking out of the bathroom. It's like that improv-y general talk where they're just like, how about a ha-ha? Like, you know, it wasn't scripted.
Right.
Oh my God, wait, over there. That's him.
So then we meet
on a blind date with PJ.
Carrie goes on this blind date.
Carrie's on a blind date.
He's a very successful independent movie producer. I just wrote, PJ seems fun. And then she calls him the man with no soul.
And I love the cigarette smoke effect. It kind of like hazes around his face. We have some cool camera work in this episode.
Yeah, I meant to say, what's the animal? Like, he's doing a documentary about what?
And he, seagulls?
Yeah, and he doesn't care. He's like, fuck the seagulls.
I'm not afraid to say it, okay? I love money. I would sell toilet bowls if it would make me a millionaire.
Yeah, this is the man with no soul, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We go through blind date number two at Cinema Village on 12th Street.
The man with two faces.
The man with two faces.
Because Carrie's all like, I can't see a movie without popcorn.
And he's more of a Junior Mints fan.
Yeah, and then we're like, oh, this is cute.
And screams at the people behind him in line.
You want to lean a little closer? Maybe hear our entire conversation? Hey, here's a better idea. Why don't you and your fucking girlfriend just sit in our laps during the movie? Then you won't miss a fucking word, dick.
I know that person exists.
Right.
And I would like to have a psychological, like, evaluation of what is happening in their mind that they think that that's okay to behave that way. We have Max, number three.
He's a broker.
He's super hot.
He is, and they're at the Strand.
They're at the Strand bookstore.
Which still has those same exact fun story about those racks, I guess, is what you... shelves, yeah. I guess, at the Strand. So they're still there. They're still outside. They still are a dollar. And many years ago, I went to the Strand, and I bought all of these, like, old, probably from the 60s, souvenir Broadway programs for a dollar each.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, oh, these are awesome. These are fun. And then I opened up one of them, and there were, when I got home later, there were like these black and white lithographs from the movie premiere of A Star Is Born. And now I have them all framed in my apartment. It was like the coolest find.
Wow, that's quite a find.
Yeah, because it was, I didn't realize it was a program for that movie. And when you saw that movie, you got the lithographs. So it was like a really cool find. Oh, so neat. I never walk by those without looking.
So we have the man who steals cheap books for no reason. Which I do really like. That's a good one.
Yeah. And then she talks to the camera. So you
lied.
She
does. I lied to you. I was really, when that moment happened, I was like, oh, I am a liar. Mm-hmm. She talked to the camera. So, and
yeah.
Then,
and did you see, well, no, you didn't, because you're not on Twitter. You don't read it as much as I do. But I one of our listeners posted to us that Sarah Jessica Parker stops talking to the camera, and she says because it was something about, like, Ferris Bueller's Day Off and how, like, she could never do it as good as that.
Yeah, so there we go. So we had a talk to the camera moment, mm-hmm. and then we get to the question.
Are all men freaks?
Yes. I'm sorry, you weren't done.
Yeah. Oh, Mike, we're becoming the same person. I literally wrote, are all men freaks? Yes, we are done. Bye, guys.
And that's our show.
And that's our show.
We'll see you next week.
Mm-hmm.
We won't. You'll correct me on that. So
I'm drinking water. I didn't have time. We won't see you, but you can hear us.
We have the Charlotte and Harrison montage.
I just wrote a Charlotte reciprocating.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No.
But I don't think he cares.
I don't think he cares.
It's not Harrison. It's Mitch Saylor.
Oh, yeah. Mitch. Charlotte and Mitch montage.
An interesting turn of events.
7 times.
That night, Charlotte saw God 7 times. For a lapsed Episcopalian, it was a very good Friday.
7 times in one night.
That's too much. I'm exhausted just thinking about that.
I was wondering if he could breathe under there. You know?
We go to the Bethesda Fountain,
mm-hmm.
and we meet Ben.
Who, thus far, maybe it's just me, but I think he is the most attractive man that has been on the show.
Ian Conn.
He's married.
He is married. I think he has kids. I don't remember. Anyways. Yeah, he's very handsome.
Like, out of every person. I mean, there's been, like, Yankee Joe was cute.
Yeah.
But I think he is the most, like, dateable.
Most dateable. Definitely most, like, right up my alley, mm-hmm. for the kind of guy.
Yeah.
This is only his second credit in IMDb.
Wow.
And his first was like an after-school special kind of thing several years before. So this is quite the breakout. He went on his biggest thing is he was on The Turn TV series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. He was in a lot of stuff that I was like, Mike's going to know all this stuff that he's
done. Yeah, he's in a ton of work. And yeah, he's super handsome. And it's sort of the meet cute moment where he looks at her and then she looks as he looks away and they kind of go back and forth and they have a little conversation about like...
Rough night?
Bad date.
Been there.
He was a kleptomaniac.
Last month I went out with a woman who slept with her shoes on.
I've done that. But I was in my 20s and also probably in a blackout.
Yeah, that's a little different.
Yeah, and he says women are bizarre.
But sometimes in a good way.
Yeah, that's why he doesn't date anymore.
Yeah, so they decide to go on a non-date.
And then there, in the middle of Manhattan, two complete strangers gave out their unlisted phone numbers.
So they both have unlisted phone numbers. Mm-hmm. Is that even a thing? I mean, we don't even have listings for phone numbers. I mean, there still is a phone book.
Yeah, I don't think you would care because you could find it on the internet.
Right.
My mom's like a self-proclaimed internet sleuth. So sometimes she'll be like, you know, I was trying to get in touch with so-and-so, and I just typed their phone number in. And I'm like, all right. So, yes.
Sam sees Monica, who does lots of talk about the fat from my ass into my face.
Fat from my own ass.
Which I was like, if they put the fat from my ass into my face, I would look like I just got my wisdom teeth out.
I don't need my face to be any fuller.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, that was a weird interaction for me. I think it was important for Samantha's character arc, but it was like, who is this woman?
Yeah, it is
why
a very...
are they immediately talking about she doesn't look like she's old enough to... neither of them, I don't know.
Yeah, neither look old enough that they need to have any kind of work done, but it's just a moment to spur us along on her little journey.
And that plastic surgery trend reversed a few years later. People were getting fat from other places and getting it injected into their butt,
right?
Which makes more sense to me. But
Carrie, we have the end of Carrie's non-date.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I really thought about in this moment were the lights on the trees in the background.
Yeah, that is still a thing in the city sometimes.
It is. I think you have to have a special permit if it's not the holiday season.
You do, and maybe that place did.
Yeah, maybe.
Because
they did
we learned, I did some research.
East 73rd or whatever.
Yeah, I did some research, and I found out that according to Michael Patrick King, Sex in the City takes place in a season he calls Eternal Spring.
All right. So I thought it was summer, and you're saying Eternal Spring.
Because they discovered there's a few scenes in the first season where they're like, oh, these characters would be cold or things like that. And he says we don't actually get to – I got all this from the Sex in the City Kiss and Tell book, which Mike doesn't own. And when I asked him why, he said, because I'm not a 13-year-old. So I felt attacked, and I'm buying it for him because it was very useful in this moment. So, yes, so that happened, and he says that we don't discover which, like, there's no clear season until the end of season 4, something happens. Also, 13-year-olds shouldn't be watching the show. So Mike was just probably angry that I was coming for him. Don't be offended if you have this book. You should have it. And Mike's not a real
fan. I should have it. I agree that I should have it. It is silly that I don't have it. I do not. We get to four ladies at Carrie's drinking red wine.
Carrie's wearing toe socks.
Is she?
Yeah, which I thought of yesterday for some weird reason. I hadn't even watched this yet. I was like, remember toe socks?
Yeah, they just have the conversation covers a few things. We get into Mr. Kitty a little bit. We get into Sam's had the first part of her procedure done, and she has to wear the girdle with the hole in it.
Right.
She had sex with a Calvin Klein model the night before and feels fantastic.
Which shocked me that she would do that. It just looks
and
like Spanx
to me.
You'd
also think you'd be sore. Like, she sort of sits gingerly later on, and I kind of thought,
I mean, I guess I don't know how invasive that is. Yeah, and then Charlotte's going to leave to go spend time with him, and they are like, well, do you guys actually spend time together?
Aside from technique, what do you even know about the guy? Do you even talk?
Do you even fuck?
Stop it!
Sweetie, Miranda has a point. I mean, have you guys had dinner together? Have you seen a play? Anything?
No, but we could.
You know what? I think you've fallen into the sex haze, you know, where the sex is really great, and then you start acting like a crazy person. Then you start to imagine the relationship is something it's not.
We get to a double date. So Ben and Carrie have gotten Miranda to come out on a date with them.
A double non-date.
Double. The non thing is getting to be a bit much at this point.
Right.
I'm kind of like, that's cute, but let's maybe calm down with the non thing. when we meet Manhattan guy,
mm-hmm.
who's attractive and he seems nice, and then it quickly like devolves into this, I haven't left Manhattan in over a decade. Why would you ever leave Manhattan? Now, I will say that I am I love Manhattan. I live in Manhattan. I spend most of my time in Manhattan. It's nice to leave sometimes.
I like the city. I also happen to like the country. This does not make me a freak.
You're obviously not from here.
I don't like to leave for huge amounts of time. I do start to get a little bit anxious. But no, it's nice to leave the city. You should leave the city every once in a while.
Of course.
And then, of course, this is another of like a guy that just cannot say a nice thing. Like, he just keeps saying worse and worse things down to like, he just starts being insulting at a certain point.
But I also, I don't know. I mean, in a real life, I feel like a lot of, that could be like a defense thing for him too. Because
maybe.
He's like, no, I don't. Why would you leave? Because he hasn't left. You
right.
know? I don't know.
She uses the term, I have to go feed my cat, which we establish as a thing that she says when she wants to leave a situation.
Yeah. And I don't understand why Carrie's like, I don't want, like, does Carrie really want her to be with this man?
Yeah,
I don't know. And she says, you can tell everything about, or Carrie says, you can tell everything about a person by who their friends are, which I think is true. So then she's in bed with Ben.
Well, first of all, the jerky Manhattan guy says cat people are all freaks. Fuck you, Manhattan guy. That's all.
I mean, cat people really love their cats.
Yeah, but it also...
doesn't mean they're freaks.
Yeah, I don't think that cat people are any freakier than dog people.
No.
No one brings their cat to a restaurant. Callback. So, we cut to Carrie.
For someone who doesn't have a cat, you're very...
Carrie and Ben in bed, and we see his Tweety Bird tattoo.
Which really looks like a temporary tattoo.
It really looks like a temporary tattoo.
And then he's like, do you have anything, what is it, like anything
wrong? Yeah, anything wrong with you, and she has a scar on her knee.
Which is stupid, like, that story sucked. Not that dramatic.
We have a horrible, horrible voiceover transition.
While Miranda was busy feeding her pussy, Charlotte was trying to do everything but.
No, I don't like that one. We have the fruit platter.
Yeah, the fruit platter where Charlotte talks about going to Camp Minnehaha. Which is a lot. And then I just wrote, just outrageous with that
just
fig.
Over the top fig eating.
Like, who also gets a fig on a fruit platter? Like, what were any of those fruits on there?
Yeah, they were very specific.
Like, I thought, if I ever get that fruit platter, I'm going to be like, is this a test? Like, I have to eat this and tell you what it is? There was like a papaya, a fig.
There's a lot of suggestive looking.
Yeah, very fruits. Vaginal fruits.
Yeah, vaginal fruits. We have a little x-ray transition where we go from Charlotte's face to, I don't know if it's Samantha's skull in an mm-hmm. x-ray. Once again, fancy.
He marks her up.
Well, also, is that when she says, she has a line where she's not facing the camera. And I don't, it doesn't even sound like it's her, it sounds like a voiceover to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then, I mean, obviously those lines there are about to be revealed. He's not drawing them in the moment. They're all on her already. The nurse interrupts, which I think is kind of weird, where, like, the nurse, like, opens the door when Samantha's not wearing very much.
Right.
And it's just a weird moment. Like, I feel like that's strangely done. We have the reveal that she's been marked up, and it's, like, a fun house moment.
Samantha felt like she had walked into a fun house, only it wasn't particularly funny.
Kim Cattrall's body's pretty flawless.
Yeah, no, it's a little out of control.
And, you know, I watch a lot of plastic surgery shows Ugh. On E! And I don't know, like, those doctors would have been like, you don't need anything. Because actually, if you want that much plastic surgery, they make you go see a psychiatrist and get an evaluation.
Yeah, it was a lot. We go to Carrie the next morning, and Ben is going to leave Carrie alone in her apartment.
His apartment,
yeah.
Which, this happens a lot on this show.
It does happen a lot, where someone is left behind when they don't really know the person all that well yet.
Okay, so he leaves, and she decides she's going to figure out that one thing that he has, right?
Figure out what his freaky thing is.
And I don't know about you, But this whole section gave me anxiety.
Oh, absolutely. Because you know he's going to come back.
You know he's going to come back. She's also, smoking in his fridge.
Smoking in his... There's also a half-eaten apple in his fridge. Which
I didn't notice
I would
that.
Say that's the freaky thing that he has. That he would take a few bites out of an apple and then put it in his fridge.
Yeah, she's smoking all through his apartment. I wrote, I'm nervous AF. Starting, when is he walking in?
You know he's coming back.
I hate this.
And then, of course, she finds this box.
Ben's secret box of freakdom.
Also, for the record, he was in the movie The Box with Cameron Diaz. So there
Quit
you go.
Quit talking about box. Always talking about box.
So she can't. She's trying to open this box. And then, of course, Ben returns and finds her in a very awkward stance on his bed. Smoking a cigarette.
I was like, didn't she hear the door? Was there a door?
I think she was just too preoccupied.
Yeah, being... weirdo.
Being a weirdo, but that's... And I will say, this moment makes me sad in that way of, I understand that it's a TV show, so we're moving on, but they were a nice couple.
Yeah, I did too. I was like, ugh, way to F things up.
I know, and I guess it's because it's so early in the relationship.
Yeah, you can't. And can't really I would totally be like, get out, weirdo. Oh. But also, yeah, I mean, she couldn't be with Ben, because Ben is magic, and if they stayed together, then we wouldn't have six series full of her with Mr. Big on again, off again, you know.
Yeah, but it does kind of bum me out.
I know, because I love him.
And then Carrie recognizes the actual freak.
That was a day I came face to face with my freak. The frightening woman whose fear ate her sanity. The truth is, it isn't just the men. It's all of us. Anyone who's single in Manhattan gets a little freaked out from time to time.
Yeah, and if the world's fattest twins can find love, there's love for all of us.
There's also some really good second directing happening there, where she gets to the crosswalk, and then two others show up, mm-hmm. and then some fun background work happening there as they cross the street.
Yeah, I got a lot of quotes from this for 2018.
Like what?
Well, if the world's fattest twins can find love, there's love for all of us.
Okay.
And also the last line, in the meantime, we always have Manhattan.
Beautiful shot of looking down at Washington Square Park.
And then this is where you insert Sarah Bareilles' Manhattan.
And there we go.
There we go.
The freak show. I like this. I like this episode a lot.
Me too. I liked it. I feel like I'm really starting to get in the groove of the show. I'm to a point now where I actually am like, all right, I want to see the next one.
Oh yeah. Well, that's
which
fun.
I hadn't been to yet, so I'm finally there. I hate to say it, but I don't really know if I'm Miss Skipper. I don't know if he's coming back. Don't tell me. I like to be surprised, but I find out you also lie to me because you told me there's no more talking on the camera.
I was really surprised about that. Yeah, it's a funny episode. I mean, it's Sex and the City, so some of the storylines are a little bit absurd, but everyone has something to do.
And this is getting a little bit, into my personal life, but, I wonder, had I watched this earlier, would it have influenced me in a way that I may have lived my life differently?
Wow.
You know? Because I watch this and I'm like, oh... Okay, it's this example of these women and these close relationships, and I have a lot of female friends, but I never had a group of female friends like that, and I struggle with self-confidence issues and dating and things like that. So I just wonder, if I watched this earlier, would I have felt differently? Would I have been like, oh, I can eat lemonade and cookies together because Neville's wife says it's okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I watched it in my 20s, and I don't know what kind of effect it had on me.
I just wonder, would these have been, in a weird way, would these have been the big sisters I never had?
Interesting.
Or are they the big sisters I never had now? And will there be an Eat, Pray, Love documentary about me in 10 years like the girl who watched Sex and the City at years old? And I don't know. It was just the thought I had when I was watching it.
If the show can almost encourage you to try things or encourage you to get out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And by try things, I don't mean Mrs. Up the Butt. I just mean that I had this thought of oh, would these, I don't know.
Well said. Well spoken.
Thank you.
There you go. The Freak Show.
The Freak Show.
It's a funny one.
Tis.
I like Jenny Bix.
I do. I like this show. I like this episode. And with that being said, follow us on Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. You can find us on Facebook at We Couldn't Help But Wonder, or on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder. No spaces. We love to hear from you guys. I'm always on Twitter. So if you...
Yeah, ask a question. Ask or tell a question. Tell us if you think something different than we think. Yeah. I love other people's perspectives on it.
Yeah, we do. And yeah, that's it. We're enjoying doing this.
We're having fun. Hope you are too.
This ending is still so weird. We got to find something better, Mike. We're better than this.
What if we're not?
What if we're not? And that's okay.
All right. We'll be back next week.
My big sister Carrie told me that.
I like you just the way you are.
Don't go changing.
Bye.
To try and please me.
You can visit us at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at Mikey Jensen. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. We'll be back next week with They Shoot Single People, Don't They? Where Carrie says, well, what about us?
Right.
And Miranda's like, we're just choosy.
What about us?
Okay.
What about us? Sorry.
Anyways.
Gosh, my mother always raised me like all the other girls were like, this is my pee-pee. And my mom was like, very like, that's a vagina, you know.
Okay. I don't want to call Mr. Vagina.
Because you can find some cool stuff.
I've only been to the Strand once, and that was with you.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. I'd never been there until we went shopping.
Oh, and I made that comment about the button.
Which one?
Because I thought it was Kurt Cobain.
Oh, right. And it was... was it Peter Dinklage? I definitely, like, met a guy once and then met his best female friend and was like, ooh. Which is maybe judgy, but I definitely took me back a little bit. I'm very proud of all of my friends, I guess is what I'm saying. I feel like if you met any of my friends...
Do you still talk to this person?
No.
Oh.
I'm not going to say it was entirely my choice, but no.
Okay.
That didn't go very far.
You can edit it out if
yeah,
you want
I might.
To. If you decide that, like, you think they might listen. You can have
that. I don't love that song, but then she was talking about how she cried at the end when she was recording it, and then I felt like I can't not like that song anymore. To be clear, it's only because you don't give someone else Manhattan.
Wow.
Manhattan's something you keep. That's all. I'll cut that because I love Sarah Bareilles and I don't want her to know that I have any ill will towards her whatsoever.
Because she's listening.
Because she's a big fan of the podcast.
She is messy. Again.
It's a good song. She's kind.